The time has finally come. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. I have a story for you today. This is a continuation of a previous story. It's part of a playlist. You might choose to enjoy the entire playlist entitled The Bobby Series. Today's episode stems from an offer that David received from Dr. Ferguson. It was offered that David, because he is interested in maybe going into medicine, will be allowed to observe surgery in the operating room and then go to Dr. Ferguson's office and observe office practice. David has been looking forward to this day, although not for very long because the whole idea was hatched last week. David needed to be in the operating room on this day, Tuesday, at 7 in the morning. Since David doesn't have a car at this point, he needed to impose upon his friend Chris, who does have a car. Now, Chris needs to be at work at 7. David needs to be at the hospital at 7. And so the plan was that David would be dropped off at the hospital about 20 minutes early so that Chris would have time to get out to the furniture factory to start his shift on the construction crew. Arriving early and having to wait a few minutes was not a big deal for David. Chris picked David up at 6:30 as planned and dropped him at the hospital about 10 minutes later. David followed the directions he had received on his phone in a text message and found his way up to the operating room. The security guard at the front desk asked him what he was doing, and he explained that he was to meet somebody in the operating room. The guard gave him a visitor's pass, and he went up to the operating room. When he arrived there, the doors were closed, and it said, "Do not enter." So he didn't. He stood in front of the electric doors and waited. Within 5 minutes, a young lady came out of those doors and found herself face to face with David. She asked, "Are you looking for someone? Can I help you?" David explained that he was there to observe in the operating room and he was waiting for Dr. Dan Wilson. Her response was very cheerful. She said, "Oh, I'm Jessica. Come with me." David followed her down the hall, two doors, and she used her badge to open a door. The door was not marked. The two of them entered. She turned to David and pointed to the room and said, "This is the dictation area for the surgeons, and it's kind of a lounge. This is where Dr. Wilson will show up when he gets here in a few minutes." She went on to explain that he brings his lunch, so he will take his lunch to the refrigerator, and then he'll probably get a cup of coffee. Dr. Wilson loves coffee. She said, "At some point, he'll notice you, and since he knows you're coming, he'll figure it out." David nodded. Jessica said, "Help yourself to the coffee." David thanked her, and she departed. He did make a cup of coffee, as recommended, and he sat patiently. He waited about 10 minutes, and as expected, Dr. Wilson came in through the door. Now, David didn't recognize him because they had never met, but he was hoping that the fellow coming in was Dr. Wilson, and indeed the fellow coming in the door had an insulated lunch pail. As Dr. Wilson came into the room, he made a beeline, that is a straight path to the refrigerator, but about midway he turned to David and asked if he was David. David answered in the affirmative, and Dr. Wilson continued on his trajectory, putting his lunch in the refrigerator and turning to get a cup of coffee. As he was making his coffee, he regarded David and said, "I see you found the coffee." Dr. Wilson sat down at one of the computers next to David and started it up. He used his badge to log on to the computer and brought up the software necessary to look at the day's schedule and information about the patients. He didn't ask David much about himself because he already knew that David was a college student thinking about going into medicine, and that was enough for now. Instead, Dr. Wilson was really all business, and he was not long-winded. He didn't talk a lot. He just said what was necessary. He said that they initially had three operations to do this morning, but yesterday, two people broke their hips, and so he and the staff postponed two of those scheduled operations to allow Dr. Wilson to fix the hip fractures. So that would leave him with three cases to do today. But unfortunately, one of the patients, the lady, just didn't get cleared, so we can't do her surgery. David, having listened to all this, speculated insurance. Dr. Wilson smiled and said, good guess, but no, the insurance is not an issue. It's really almost never an issue with trauma. We don't let it be an issue. No, it's medical clearance. She wasn't stable enough that the surgery would be safe. The medical doctors figure that one more day and they can get her tuned up, get everything properly adjusted, and the surgery will be safer. So her surgery's postponed. That leaves me with two today. I need to fix an ankle fracture and I need to fix a broken hip. David nodded. Soon they were looking at the x-rays on the computer. Dr. Wilson briefly explained the fracture and how he was going to fix it. He then said, this is a very straightforward fracture. The fellow has great bone quality. It's a common fracture pattern, and we know how to take care of it. It should be very straightforward, but my professor taught me years ago, if somebody gives you a layup, don't miss it. Now that's an interesting expression. That comes from sports, specifically basketball. Most basketball players consider a layup an easy shot. It's not very challenging. So the advice given with that phrase, if someone gives you a layup, don't miss it, is if you encounter something that looks easy, you still need to take it seriously because you can mess it up. You can fail because you weren't paying attention. David simply understood the reference. Dr. Wilson then switched to the x-rays of the hip fracture and pointed out what had happened. He explained that he was going to put everything back in the right place and then fix it with a gadget that is designed to hold everything while it heals. After making some quick chart entries on the computer, he logged off and the two of them went to the men's locker room. They changed into the operating room clothes called scrubs, and Dr. Wilson recommended that David not leave anything valuable in the locker unless he's brought a lock. David said no, so he said just keep your wallet and money with you. David nodded. They went out into the area near the operating room and found the shoe covers, masks, and caps. Dr. Wilson said, you see this red line? David nodded. He said, this is scrubs only. On this side of the line, people can have street clothes on. Makes sense. They walked past the front desk, and there was Jessica, the lady who had let him into the dictation area. Through the window, he introduced David to Jessica, and they indicated that they had met. Dr. Wilson explained that Jessica was the charge nurse on that day, and he told Jessica that David is a pre-med student and that he would be observing in room 3 this morning. Jessica nodded, and the two of them continued down the hallway. This hospital has 10 operating rooms, but they will be in room 3 for the day. Room 3 is a little bigger, and they need a bigger room because of the equipment they're going to be using. They put up their masks and went into room 3. The staff was already setting up for the surgery, and Dr. Wilson introduced David to the staff. He asked David to stay back from the instrument table and stay back from the patient once the drapes have been put on. He explained that these are sterile fields, and since David is not going to be scrubbed in a gown, he should not get any closer than perhaps 3 feet from those places. Over time, a lot more information was given to David about how things were going to work, and soon the patient arrived on a gurney, on a cart. David stepped back to the edge of the room to allow the staff to do their job. What he observed is that things happened very quickly. Soon the patient was on the table, and the gurney was out of the room. The anesthetist quickly established an anesthetic, and quickly the staff was prepping the leg, that is, cleaning it with antiseptic soap, in preparation for the surgery. In a flash, the drapes were on, the staff was all gowned up, and the surgery was about to begin. They went through a final checklist to make sure that everything was ready, and they began the surgery. David watched with surprise at how quickly things went. Within a few minutes, one of the 2 fractures had been put back into proper position and had been stabilized with a screw. A plate and screws were used in addition to make that repair stronger. Another incision was made on the other side of the ankle, and 2 screws were used to fix the fragment on that side of the ankle. A portable digital x-ray machine was used to check the position of these fragments. Because of the x-ray machine, all of the staff and David had to wear lead gowns to protect them from the x-rays. A lot of things were going through David's mind as this process unfolded. Soon, Dr. Wilson was closing the skin with staples. They applied dressings and a splint, and the operation was complete. Soon the patient was awake and being wheeled out to the recovery area. This would be an outpatient procedure. He would not stay in the hospital. The second operation was very different. It started about an hour later. It was a hip fracture. It was also done with an x-ray machine to help navigate realigning the fracture fragments. Again, the surgery went very quickly, and soon the wound was closed and a dressing applied. This patient would stay in the hospital maybe a couple of days recovering from this surgery. After the second procedure, David and Dr. Wilson were sitting in that dictation area, and Dr. Wilson asked if he had any questions. David said, "I wouldn't know what to ask. Everything happened so quickly and so unexpectedly. My head is spinning." Dr. Wilson reassured him that that is normal. He then related his first experience watching surgery in an operating room when he was David's age. He then told David that he was watching him during the surgery to make sure that he wasn't showing signs of getting dizzy or maybe getting ready to faint. Dr. Wilson asked if David had any questions or anything else before he goes. David said no. He thanked him and headed to the locker room to change back into his regular clothes. He would walk to Dr. Ferguson's office early and start the shadowing in the office. Once David was dressed, it took him about 10 minutes to walk to Dr. Ferguson's office. In the next episode, we'll see what the shadowing in the office taught David. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.